The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-carat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show, Thought Crimes. That's right. We have Blake Neff, Tyler Boyer, Jack Posobiec. We talk about Jack Smith. We disagree about some of the Trump stuff. We talk about Lizzo and more. Remember, this show is a little bit spicier. So for the homeschoolers out there, that you have been warned. We get some emails. Charlie, I don't like Thought Crimes. The topics are a little bit R-rated. Well, it is. So you've been warned. Support our program by going to members.charliekirk.com and becoming a member today. That's members.charliekirk.com. You can email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. As always, you can email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Boy, I got to be honest. The name of the show just becomes more and more timely as we continue. Blake Neff is with us, the increasingly popular Blake Neff. Tyler Boyer.
Hey, how are we doing?
Campus Victory Project t-shirt. And Jack Posobiec, never heard of him, but he's with our show right now. Jack, who are you?
They sometimes like typo our ad reads, so they mention this guy. That's why we found him.
I know, Jack, you look like something as a combination of Inception and Hell. It looks like your background. But
exactly. That's exactly. No, well, I'm in Washington, D.C.
Well, okay, so that's what you were going for. Inception, but hell. Okay, so everybody, this is Thought Crimes. The reason why this show becomes more and more timely is that this indictment right here, Blake, you've read it multiple times. I've read it twice. Tyler, you've read it as well. And Jack, I know you've gone through it. This, actually, the center of this is Thought Crimes. Is that fair, Jack Posobiec? Donald Trump thought things that you were not allowed to think.
Well, not only did he think them, but he had the even far greater audacity and criminal intent, mens rea, as we say in the biz, to actually speak his thought crimes publicly at one point, believe it or not, from a microphone in front of the White House. And not only did he speak these unlawful opinions publicly, he even apparently shared them privately. He shared them with, you know, people that you're not allowed to discuss legal strategy with, like lawyers, right? Of course, because that's illegal now, too. In fact, all of these things that he did, like cite laws and precedent and hold speeches and have opinions, those are all illegal now because we named this show, what is this, episode 7, episode 8, something? So about 2 months into the show here, we said we're going to call the show.
It's an incredibly.
And there we go.
It's a very appropriately timed show. So Blake, I mean, look, you're hyperdrive normie, right? So you don't engage in any of the, you know, let's say tribal talk that Blake, Tyler, and I do, right? You're just on team whatever, you know, is the most normal explanation. But Blake, you're the one that's like, this is insane.
It's completely nuts. Like, you know, I've certainly had a lot of criticism. We've even discussed, you know, the yes. other indictment where I'm like, okay, whatever else, this was totally avoidable. This one, this is bad. And like, you don't, it's not a matter of whether you think like any of the fraud claims are accurate or not. What it literally is they're basically saying Trump committed a crime by asserting that he believed in them. And they're like, we can read his mind. He didn't really believe this. This was knowingly false. They use the phrase like knowingly false probably 50 times in that indictment. And it's just over and over again. What it will be is it'll just be like, well, you know, Trump's lawyer, this one lawyer told him that this was not true. And so after he's been told this, that means it's knowingly false that he said that. Well, no, they don't talk about who else told him these things. Who else was Trump listening to? Like who was giving these narratives to Trump that he was deciding to believe this. And literally they just decide to criminalize that Trump chose to believe one person over another person.
So Blake, we have the indictment here and I'll hand it to you. And you, I want you to find some examples, but can you cite some examples of that? Cause I just, I'm sure you have the indictment for you. Yeah. And so Tyler, do you want to chime in here before I go back to Jack on this? Because I mean, this indictment is multifaceted, but let's talk about the political side, right? You're like the great political mind of the generation. Part of the RNC actually cares about it. The politics of this is flummoxing to people. You know the base really well. Donald Trump's getting more popular since these indictments have gone down.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's take that first part. So everything that happens to Donald Trump, and this is starting all the way back to 2015, every attack that is made on Donald Trump from either the establishment or from the left increases his popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it their job harder. So it's like crazy that we're still here and that they're going to the – it's like every time they keep leveling up, you know, I call it like the Wile E. Coyote type stuff, right? Which is that the Wile E. Coyote is trying to do something more, like more insidious every time. And the Roadrunner still like outruns him. So that's kind of where we've been politically since 2015 and Donald Trump. And it seems like nothing works.
Yeah, I mean, so Tyler, help me make sense of this. And this is a tangent while Blake finds the examples.
I've just got it right here. Like good. On the same page, this is just talking about the state of Wisconsin. That same day, in response to the court decision that had prompted the Wisconsin governor to sign a certificate of final determination, the defendant, Trump, issued a tweet repeating his knowingly false claim of election fraud and demanding that the Wisconsin legislature overturn the election results. Then, two paragraphs later, on January 6th, 2021, the defendant publicly repeated knowingly false claims that there had been tens of thousands of unlawful votes. January 6th, that means they're charging for something he said in his speech at the White House.
Well, yeah, and so well,
the speech.
Sure, but I couldn't disagree more with this. I've spent a lot of private time with President Trump. He believes this.
Yeah.
You could think he's off the wall on it and all this. I think he's onto something more so than not. But you're allowed to believe things that are not.
You're allowed to be
mainstream.
Delusional. Like you can.
This is the country.
You could think he was Napoleon, and it would be insane for them to charge him.
But Blake, let's just play devil's advocate. What are we missing here? How's the regime framing this? What's the crime here? Like
the regime frame.
If you were to like say like Blake, play devil's advocate. What is their how could you possibly spin that?
I you know what I think it is. Not to interject here, but the same way that they, and this is like kind of a more pertinent thing that we've seen in like real society. That speech is not protected in this. This is the case when people commit suicide, for example, is that if you talk someone into suicide or say something enough that it causes them to commit suicide,
so
you can be held liable. So I think what their angle that they're trying to do is this is in that same vein that President Trump knows better. He knew the truth. He knows the facts, and he was still pushing people to do things that were driving them insane. And all these people went insane, you know, normal people went insane doing things that were they normally wouldn't do because of
Donald
Trump's
rhetoric.
Well,
keep in mind, they didn't so far. They might be planning to do this. There are signs they do, but they currently haven't charged him with like incitement to insurrection. They do have conspiracy, if you look on the front here.
Conspiracy
to obstruct an official proceeding, and that conspiracy against rights. So what the conspiracy against rights is the crazy one, because what they're basically saying is by repeating all of his knowingly false claims about the election, that he's destroying people's right to vote, that people have the right to vote and have their vote be counted, and he's delegitimizing the election with his scheme. And they do have – there are certain quotes in here. Like, you know, if you listen to someone for 3 months, you'll probably get a bad quote out of them. But they did get those quotes where, like, he's you know, he's pushing Pence, for example, to go along with their idea for January 6th when they're counting, you know, say that there's a dispute and we can't count them yet. And there's a point where he basically says, like, you're too honest, Mike, is what he supposedly says to Mike Pence while they're on the phone. And, you know, they're framing this as like Trump knew this was all a lie and was just running a really aggressive shtick of fraud because he wanted to remain president. And there's a few examples. They have to really stretch it because like there's cases where they say that like a person will say like, you know, we have a lot of theories, but not a lot of proof yet or whatever. And they're like, sure. Well, that proves they knew it was false. I think it's much more like these people very
they said
strongly
that to Arizona, yeah, actually.
They
Rusty
very
Bowers,
strongly
yeah.
believe it because but you know they're kind of vibe readers. Trump is very much a vibe guy. Like
yeah,
he just
so,
believes the fraud.
So Jack, I want to get you in on here. You've read the indictment. What
So, like, I mean, a lot of people listen to this podcast. They're not into this. They'll hear our rather forceful explanations of this, and they might be tempted to be like, oh, Charlie, Jack, and Blake, and Tyler, you guys are partisan actors. You're over-exaggerating. But, Jack, even from the most sober reading of this indictment, they're criminalizing disagreement, that you can't look at an election and see something differently.
Wait. Charlie, at one point in here, in one of the page number, it's section 44, but it says, December 4th, after four Republican leaders, I got the citation, you're going to love this. The leaders of the Pennsylvania legislature issued a public statement that the assembly lacked the opportunity to overturn the popular vote. Doing so would violate the code, da, da, da. And then the defendant retweeted a post labeling the legislators cowards, period. So they were actually going through President Trump's retweet on his Twitter timeline. This is before he was suspended. So this was December. He was suspended the next month after January 6th. They're using retweets, calling somebody a coward, which, guess what? You know, you may not like that. You may say it's repugnant. You may say that, well, I don't want a president who talks that way. You might be, you know, part of the sort of Never Trump National Review crowd and saying, I think it's all reprehensible. No president should ever act this way. But calling somebody a coward or retweeting someone calling someone a coward is not criminal. And it should never be used as evidence of criminality. And I think that's what Blake is getting to here, that there's no criminal intent. What you see is somebody who is essentially trying to use a process. Now, you can make all sorts of arguments about, was the process, you know, followed correctly? Was he, you know, was he doing things the proper way, et cetera, et cetera? But those are all process questions. Yeah. The point is, he's trying to follow a process. And by the way, and this is going to come up in court, he was acting on the advice of counsel the entire time.
And count one really stands out to me, too. I want to say that it's this conspiracy to defraud the United States. And the framing of this, they use the fraudulent over and over again. On page 22 of this here, in section 54, they have the December 9th memorandum, which the prosecutor calls the fraudulent elector instructions. That is what they are officially labeled in court documents, where they're saying, like, this whole scheme is to, like, they're trying to trick Mike Pence. Like, they're going to send in this, like, sheet of paper and be like, this is a trick on him. And, like,
but also, I mean, this was not absurd. A mystery leading up to this, though. In the indictment, they have, and then Donald Trump sent out a tweet, let's see what Mike Pence does. He has a chance. I mean, I know that this is not the best defense, but I think just from a layman's perspective, if you're launching a conspiracy against the United States, you're not live tweeting it. Well, you're not like, let's see what Mike does. Like, wow, there's some secret plan. Like,
and
you were being honest the whole time.
Well, Charlie, they do this thing. I'll just say, because they bring it up all the time, and I'm in the clip. The January 6th hearing brought up this clip where it's Steve Bannon, it's War Room, it's January 5th, and he had this line about all hell's going to break loose. Okay, right. I'm sitting there right next to him. I think Raheem Kassam's in the room, and all hell's going to break loose. This is the line. And then they play that, and they juxtapose it with, like, the worst footage you can find of January 6th. As if Steve Bannon and me and Raheem are behind there going like, yeah, now do this, you know, prodding it all along. When if you actually go back and listen to any of those episodes of War Room where, you know, we were doing for on January 5th and January 4th and January 3rd and January 2nd, et cetera, it was all about holding a debate, literally holding a debate on the floor of the Senate to discuss all of these things. A debate which, by the way, and it has to be brought up, that Mike Pence said multiple times, including Charlie,
at a turning point event. Tyler is the one. You see, Tyler's the one that on memory hold this. And I think I was sick as a dog during this. That's a whole different kind. I mean, you remember that, Tyler? I remember that.
I was not
in a good place. Super spreader galore. But the fun things
super
happened.
Spreader.
And I was not.
Probably gave us all COVID.
Or did you give me COVID? That's the real.
No, no, that was that was, you're thinking of 2020. I gave you COVID in 2022. That was different.
But I don't even know if what I had, if it was COVID, because it was way too intense to be COVID.
It was a weird. It was.
I had like stomach issues.
We got biobomb. Like a specific batch just for Charlie Kirk. It targeted your DNA, RFK style.
50% of TPUSA events get biobombed. It's like. It's like,
we have all
these. Now we're sounding like libs. Just like, I can't go to any event.
Not a big deal.
Well, it's like, everything causes disease.
I'm going to say that I'm being facetious and joking, but I do have lots of weird jet streams over my house all the time. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do.
Chemtrails.
I'm not going to call them anything, Blake, because it's going to get clipped. I'm not going to call them anything.
I've tested the fluoride levels in my water. So, okay. So go ahead.
I just want to say this one thing. So this is a lead up to this. Mike Pence this wasn't mystery information, all right? The entire movement, there was an entire public debate about what could Mike Pence do or not do. And it officialized in mid-December when most of the electors were sent from all across the country. So this wasn't like, so all the electors were sent. They have to be sent federally by federal statute, right? By what's required by the Constitution. All the electors have to be sent in the beginning of December. Can't remember the exact date. I think it's like December 11th or something.
I think it was 11th or 13th.
It's a specific date ahead of inauguration. And so this was not just questionable information. This was all going on. And so Mike Pence shows up to our event. And he's in the middle of just like, riling everybody up. I would even argue, like, I think his speech riled more people up in December than I ever heard Donald Trump riling people up.
So we get the vice president to come to our Turning Point USA event. There is just so much crap around this event. However, this was the notable quotable. And I forgot about this. Tyler in our group chat a couple days ago was like, hey, memory hole, this thing has disappeared. Mike Pence was playing into it. Like, here's the thing. What Tyler's getting at, if I could add my own wording of it, Mike Pence was playing to the crowd. Mike Pence was leaning in this idea, stringing out the drama. If Mike Pence was the stoic, I don't have the power to do this. Well, Mike Pence, you could have went to the Turning Point event and be like, guys, I want to manage your expectations. Nothing on January 6th is going to happen. I'm a glorified envelope opener, right?
Yeah.
He was playing into the drama. He was stretching this out. This is one of his few public addresses. People don't remember this.
Very few.
Very few.
Very few between the election.
This got clipped everywhere.
I remember when he gave it. I was in the room.
People were going crazy.
No, and so people forget this because then we'll contrast this with, Mike Pence in front of the John Deere dealership, which is him with Martha McCallum, where he's like, I'm nothing more than a glorified envelope opener, which, by the way, might be constitutionally true. Not my thing. Blake thinks that's true. I don't know. John Eastman disagrees. Not my shtick. I'll stick to my lane. However, Mike Pence, listen to the tone of Mike Pence here. He's playing into this. He's going full out enthusiasm, vim, and vigor. He's playing to the crowd, raising expectations. He created his own political grave is the point I'm making. Yep. Play cut 98.
And as our election contest continues, I'll make you a promise. We're going to keep fighting until every legal vote is counted. We're going to keep fighting until every illegal vote is thrown out. We're going to win Georgia. We're going to save America. And we'll never stop fighting to make America great again. You lost.
Now, in his defense, he means the Georgia runoff. Okay, he doesn't mean with Trump. But if you listen to that, his intensity, he's crescendoing. He is incorrect. I mean, Blake, that's... He's not playing down. He's playing into the crowd here. And I want to just contrast that with now stoic Mike Pence of like, no, I never had any authority. I never this. And look, the essence of he was raising expectations, right? I'm going to throw out all the illegal votes. He says throw out.
Not on top of that, Charlie, I remember this speech and I don't remember exactly what he said. And so we're pulling the clips right now. But this, again, this may be one of his only major speeches.
The vibe, though, guys.
His entire speech. There, and part of the speech, right at the end, he says something along the lines of like, keep up the fight. Like, don't quit.
I think that was the end.
I don't know.
That was pretty close. He said, we're going to keep fighting and all that stuff. Now listen to this. This is Mike Pence. This is Mike Pence and Martha McCallum. Cut 97 at a John Deere dealership. Play cut 97.
Well, you say, the criminal process is separate, but put yourself on that jury for just a moment. If you were on the jury, Would you say that this defendant, the former president, had committed a crime that day? Do you believe it rises to the level of a crime?
Well, you know, Martha, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know the full case in chief that the government has. I think I've said on your network many times that, I don't know if taking bad advice from lawyers is a crime. But, I would leave that legal process.
And so that's not the best clip, but there's a much better one where he's like, you have to understand, I don't have the authority, I don't have this. Blake, are we onto something here, or are we being unfair?
I think it's kind of being a bit dramatic. Like, one, he's hyping people up for the Georgia runoff, which, he's actually fighting
he
pretty hard
on. He
says
every legal vote, any illegal vote will be thrown out.
Yeah, what? And I would say,
maybe, he's basically appointing himself referee of, like, I'm going to throw out illegal votes.
He wasn't talking about that, though. I'm telling you right now, all throughout the month of December, people were looking at Mike Pence around this conversation. And when he spoke,
that context is important.
His conversation that he was having, he was like, guys, like Charlie said, I want to make clear, I'm talking about Georgia. I'm not talking about anything else. That's not what he was doing.
Well,
he says, in fact, his favorite line that he always said at every speech is like, quote from Ronald Reagan, my second favorite president behind Donald Trump. We should pull that clip.
Yeah, he said that
all the time. Like the dumbest stuff. I mean, this is December.
Well, okay.
This is, and again, Blake, the context of this is that this man who, again, gives off, there's a lot of great religious leaders. There's a lot of bad religious leaders.
It's fake pomposity.
He seems like he's just lying to people because he's like, my favorite president forever and ever, amen, will be Donald Trump.
Corny dad jokes.
All
right?
The time. And look, everyone has a right to change their opinion. But again, going back, what he's saying today was that he never was on that ship.
So Blake,
and he was on that ship.
Blake, feel free to
December.
Go all out. Where are we wrong?
Well, I just don't think. First of all, like, what are you guys mad at Trump, at Pence, that he didn't do? That he didn't decide, I'm going to nullify the election? Because here's what would have happened if he'd done that, which I think is worth emphasizing. If Mike Pence had tried to say, like, we don't know who won this election and it's in dispute, probably the Joint Chiefs were going to step into the White House with a bunch of Marines and say,
wait,
Donald Trump,
they haven't done that?
Donald Trump, you have to leave.
I thought we
would really be in trouble.
Government.
We are very, very, frankly, the only reason Trump is running for president right now is that he basically was told to leave then. Otherwise, he would definitely
Two
be
things.
In prison.
I
right
want to make sure it's clear. The most extreme radical ask was to send it back to the states, not to nullify, okay?
If you read Eastman's memo, it's not sending it back to the states.
Well,
Eastman is saying that Pence could declare Trump to be president.
Even in that Martha McCallum segment, she wrote an email where he sent on January 5th saying, like, hey, go there. But let's pretend you're right, Blake. Here's my big thing. I think Tyler makes a really important point, is that Mike Pence, and if you could find the other clip of him on McCallum, he's rewriting history. He's like, I have no power, I have no this. But if that's the case, why was he setting an expectation? Because look, to an uninitiated audience, you say, oh, wow, this VP, they have all this power.
Well, what he said was count every legal vote and throw out every illegal vote. And he didn't say he said we, which basically to me encompasses
let's add the court system. Let's add broader
the
context.
The court system that you use to contest this. Like, the VP does not set what is being individual ballots being counted. At best, they say he can decide between two slates of electoral votes sent to him.
That's fair.
Which I don't think you can say, take that speech we just showed and say he was referring to legal and illegal electoral votes.
Do you think Pence did himself any favors in the weeks leading up to that?
I think Pence was in an impossible position. I think you guys would not be satisfied with anything Pence did other than essentially trying to nullify the election to throw it to Donald Trump.
You know what? Let me add more context.
I'm not calling for nullification. Again,
that is definitely what Eastman was calling for.
I'm not getting in the middle of this because
I don't think he should go to jail, but I think that is essentially what they were
calling
for.
I'm not getting in the middle of this because I'm not making comments on this for personal reasons, but let me add broader context to this. The broader context is that Mike Pence was part of the Trump campaign. So his legal advice that he was receiving was likely from the same source, for the most part, that the people, the infrastructure that existed there throughout the campaign and the 2 years, because this is what most people need to understand. The RNC and the presidential campaign are effectively one, right? They raise jointly, they spend money jointly. And so the money that was spent for legal for the RNC is almost synonymous with the money that was spent for legal by the president, which was almost synonymous with the money that was spent for Pence. So let's, again, and I'm just giving context here. The moment Mike Pence stepped out of the White House, right, or out of, you know, the Eisenhower building, not the White House, the Eisenhower building, the moment he stepped out of his office, he did what? He got two jobs, two really important jobs. Job number one, to help pay bills, Heritage Foundation. Job number two, Young America's Foundation. Donald Trump didn't do that, right? Donald Trump, you know, we all know has his own sources of income. But it's important context to understand the vice president. And I think this is important because the vice president was really, really focused on what his after office life was going to look like immediately following that. I don't think he was paying his own attorneys to give him advice in this moment. I really don't. I think he was reliant on the system that existed, which the system is all one big system. The RNC, the campaign, the president, the vice president.
Trump ignored a ton of his lawyers because he sided with the ones who were telling him that this scheme would work.
Everyone's allowed to do that.
Hold on. They're definitely allowed to do that. But the
Blake,
ones,
you can't have it both ways. He didn't. His indictment is that he listened to his
lawyers. But I'm giving context.
Well, so I'm saying
it's both ways.
No, what I was getting at was that Trump was getting legal advice and then he chose to reject that advice in favor of different advice. I don't think.
Well, but Eastman is still legal.
He is, for sure. I'm not disputing that. I'm definitely not saying this is a crime. What I'm saying is I don't think like the legal advice these guys are getting is super duper relevant because it was basically choose your own adventure on your legal advice.
So Jack, let me ask you this, Jack, from a political standpoint, and I want to play this piece of tape, you know, when you on War Room, where you guys all look, you know, it's hilarious. You got Steve Bannon with hair down to his hip. It's just, you know, the whole thing is like,
This is like 3 months into the whole thing, right?
No, this is like you guys all look like
elected.
It's like right out of Castaway. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like you guys are like talking to volleyballs. It's unbelievable
at this point.
Yeah. You got FedEx boxes everywhere.
Fire.
Yes. And so it's really something. But Jack.
But I do have the rest of that clip that Tyler was looking for.
No. I know. I want to just, whatever clip it is, let's get it ready. But Jack, is there something to this idea that Mike Pence was setting the expectation throughout the month of December, increasing the drama and playing into it? Jack, is that a fair observation?
Probably, of course. What Mike Pence is doing there is called pacing and leading, and it's very obvious. So when pacing and leading is done in sales, it's done in interrogations, it's done in politics, it's where you find where your target is. You go to them, you match their energy, and then you start walking with them, right? So what he's doing is he's coming up and saying, and I have the actual quote right here, a great conference, a Turning Point, thank you for your support. To the men and women of Turning Point USA, stay in the fight for election integrity, stay in the fight to defend that all we've done. And so he's continuing on about election integrity, and then he kind of moves off onto other subjects, talking about the administration. But the point is that he's passing the signals that he's with you. It's kind of like what Tyler has said about Ron DeSantis and others about the two island. He's telling you, I'm on your island. I'm with you. I'm going to fight this. He specifically says we will continue fighting until every illegal ballot is thrown out. No, he's not talking about electorals or anything like this. He's talking about cleaning up what was done in the state.
He's met with a standing ovation. So let's get to this here. This is you know, War Room when you guys were like an exile or something. I don't know what it's like. So amazing to see. I love it. It's like straight out of the archives. Play cut 99.
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow. It's all converging, and now we're on, as they say, the point of attack, right? The point of attack tomorrow. I'll tell you this. It's not going to happen like you think it's going to happen, okay? It's going to be quite extraordinarily different. And all I can say is strap in. You have made this happen, and tomorrow it's game day. So strap in. Let's get ready.
Exile the Patmos.
Yeah, so
they were exiled.
First of all, the audio's all over the place. You know, Steve hasn't had a haircut in like 9 months. Like,
strap in. It's going to be apocalyptic.
So, Jack, what's going on in this clip, and why is it relevant?
And you could say, look, I stand by every word of it, and I'm sure Steve does too. Like, I think I said something along the lines of it's going to be historic, it's going to be something that the American people have never seen before, et cetera. And again, the reason
it's going
that
to be
you
biblical.
See that, you're exactly. Yeah, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. that when you see the jump cuts in that clip, it's because when Steve is throwing out all those lines in between, he's discussing exactly what I just said. You know how I know? Because you can see me sitting there next to him in the clip. He's talking about having a debate. He's talking about going through the states. He's talking about these ballots in Pennsylvania that were counted that should never have been counted. He's talking about the use of the blanket at-home voting that was done in Wisconsin, et cetera, et cetera. And we were going through these different buckets. And the plan was that people like Josh Hawley, people like other senators, and a number of congressmen and women were going to get up on the process, through the process of January 6th, and hold this debate in front of the American people for as long as it took. Now, as we all know, history took a slightly different path than the one that was intended. But that's what we're talking about in that clip. That's what Mike Pence was talking about on January 4th. If you play the video from that, where he says basically the exact same thing. And that's what Mike Pence was referring to.
All right. So let's play some tape here that I think is instructive. This is one of Trump's lawyers. I kind of like this guy. Trump goes through lawyers like it's like we're on like season 8 of the Trump lawyer stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's like the defense against the dark arts teacher.
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, I like this guy. I don't know who he is.
John Lauro.
I think he's got his act together. He's done a pretty good job. If not, he plays a good lawyer on TV. Play cut 61.
So at the end, our defense is going to be focusing on the fact that what we have now is an administration that has criminalized the free speech and advocacy of a prior administration during the time that there is a political election going on. That's unprecedented. We've never seen that in the United States, in the history of the United States. So literally what we have is an attack and really an effort to not only criminalize, but also censor free speech.
And continue, cut 101, John Lauro with Dylan Mulvaney.
Well, those are secretaries of state who were making those changes in those states because of the pandemic that was happening. You talk about free speech. Jack Smith noted Trump's right to free speech and to contest the election results. But what he says in this indictment is that when that did not work, the defendant, your client, pursued unlawful means of discounting legitimate votes and subverting the election results, and that is why he is being charged here, not because of anything related to free speech.
Yeah, but that's factually inaccurate, because the ultimate request that Mr. Trump made to Vice President Pence was pause the vote counting, allow the states to weigh in ultimately and audit or recertify. And under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, the actual responsibility for qualifying electors is in the state legislatures.
Okay, so Blake, that's the retort to your position.
It definitely is. I get what they're saying. But what I get at when I bring that up is Eastman's memo does say, you can say their plan is get it back to the states. But as part of their gambit, their strategy is that Pence will say there is a dispute over the electors, so we can't count either of them. So there's a nullity. And they're going to nullify each of these six states where they have it in. And therefore,
yeah, but,
we only
well, hold
count
on, Blake,
the ones.
I got to challenge you. Where in the hell does the word nullification? I think you're inserting that word. That seems to be like.
Okay, fine. I'll use a different word. I actually have the memo in front of me. Let's see what it says. Here is the scenario we propose. And it will be at the end, he announces that because of the ongoing disputes in the seven states, there are no electors that can be deemed validly appointed in those states. That means the total number of electors appointed is 454. This reading of the 12th Amendment has also been advanced by Lawrence Tribe. And then they shout that they need 270 something.
So what you're getting at, though, is that there was this legal opinion that the vice president could decide to say no electors from Georgia. Not that I'm going to pick the Trump ones.
It was sort of a
heads I win, tails you lose situation.
Well, think about it. So what he would say is that you need 270 to win. Mm-hmm. We understand that. But Wisconsin and Georgia
have to win.
We're not going to count either candidates yet until we have clarity.
There's two options. He would say either first he will say there's a dispute, so neither counts. And then he would say Trump would win because he would have a majority of the ones where there was no dispute, because they were only disputing states that Biden actually got in the final count. Yeah. And then, so that was plan A. And then if they protested and said, like, you can't do that, he would say, oh, if we need 270, then nobody wins and it goes to the House and the House has to vote. And that was sort of the two sides. So I may have misspoken earlier and said he was going to pick the Trump one. I may have screwed up on that.
Which Trump would have won the House vote.
Well, so that's why they were losing. Goes by state.
Trump would have won the House vote. Because Liz Cheney have voted for him?
Yeah, it goes by state. We would have won 28-25. I'm not even right. Not 28 to whatever.
If they vote accordingly, but would Liz Cheney go for that for Wisconsin?
Wyoming. She would have been the one vote.
She would have been the one vote. That she would decide for herself.
Fascinating. And yeah, she would have been a sole decider. And the whole delegation votes as one.
Yeah, the whole delegation votes. And so some you only have one. Been done and some before. It would be some it would be mm-hmm. like you like only have a one
1804, 1808 or something. Yeah.
And then some you only have a one vote majority for the Republicans, so one person could defect.
So here is Mike Pence auditioning to go auction off some tractors. Play cut 103.
And irrespective of the indictment, I want the American people to know that I had no right to overturn the election. And then on that day, President Trump asked me to put him over the Constitution, that I chose the Constitution, and I always will. And I really do believe that anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. And anyone who asks someone else to put themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States again.
Okay, so two things. The immediate is we have a current regime that's putting themselves above the Constitution, but that's a silly political point. But
no dispute there. No dispute.
Okay, good. So, but I just have to say that. But Blake, I want to summarize this and we'll move on to how Lizzo's a fat slob.
The important issues.
This false dichotomy where Pence keeps on saying overturn. I don't see any evidence that Donald Trump said the words overturn, wanted things overturned. It seems as if they wanted clarity from the states. What am I missing?
I think that is very bluntly. I think Trump authentically thought he won. And I think he was truthfully searching for a way to make himself win the election. I don't think there was additional information they were reasonably going to extract at that point that would change the outcome. And like, what is unfortunate about this is that I think Trump was guided along by people who were, frankly, very delusional during this period, where it would be one thing to argue that like the election was very shady, like focus on like signature verification and you're
or
like Pennsylvania's
law is unconstitutional.
Yeah, you could focus on that. And part of the problem is I think by that point the legal challenge there had failed. Like that's what a lot of the Supreme Court stuff was about.
Right.
And instead they just got very fixated on like these very wild claims about, you know, tens of thousands of dead people voting. And it just as, you know, as when, you know, people are pointing this out to him, I'm not saying Trump was required to believe this or that it was a crime for him not to believe it. But I do think that in the realm of factual reality that the people advising Trump otherwise were correct, that there were not these hundreds of thousands of obviously illegal votes. That was being pushed by delusional people who also thought, you know, there were bamboo ballots and all sorts of strange things going on. It is, but
this was talking about those votes in Pennsylvania, those votes in Wisconsin that were counted beyond the constitutional deadline. The laws that essentially allowed for, they weren't even laws, by the way. They were orders that were sent down in Wisconsin, orders that were made unilaterally by the Pennsylvania Secretary of State in contrivance of Pennsylvania state law.
I get that. But they had a lot of angles for contesting that legally. And I do think by the time where we're getting mad at Pence for not going along with this, that their legal avenues had been exhausted. And that might stink. That might think the courts are rigging it against us.
No, but that's not the issue.
The uniparty is united against us.
The issue is that January 6th, you know, it's funny to saying that way because when you say January 6th, it sounds like I'm invoking what happened at the Capitol. Mm-hmm, but the issue is that January 6th was supposed to be the legal mechanism whereby in the Congress and Pence as in his duty.
Yeah,
as
we never actually had it. We actually never had our
actually go through this.
Yeah, we never actually had our congressional time because the building was evacuated because of all the riot, which in some ways.
Well, I'll be clear. It wasn't that they couldn't do it because they evacuated. It's because after they did this, the people saying they would do it kind of lost interest.
Understandably.
And I think that's a reality.
You kind of deflates a little bit when you got 5,000 people that just go
but
into
I think
the
that's an important reality that I think it gets to the fact that the people doing this, at least the congressmen talking about this, they were not serious individuals. They were going to make a protest that they knew would fail because they wanted to like make a gesture of loyalty towards Trump and, you know, show that they were like really standing with the base, but they were not serious people. And I think that is what is unfortunate about this is a lot of people, I think Trump genuinely believed this could occur. People like Eastman genuinely believe this could occur, but I think a lot of people allowed it to be pushed along and enabled when they knew it would not end the way these people were predicting, because they were basically egging these people on for their own political gain. And I don't think that's a crime. I don't think they were planning anything super bad, but I do think it reflected poorly on them. And they were, you know, they're kind of doing what we're accusing Pence of doing here. They were hyping people up for political gain. And it ended, in this case, it ended really, really badly in a way that I think was avoidable and bad for all the issues that all of us care about.
Well, here's the one, again, I'm just adding context to the political side of all this. The thing to understand is that simultaneous to all this, you had a majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives who were wanting to step up on behalf of specific states. One of the states in question would be ours in Arizona, where that became one of the first, you know, on the floor, right? When they,
because it's alphabetical.
It's alphabetical. And so again, there's this greater context. And I think this goes into like what Charlie's saying, which I think is true, which is that, and what you said too, which is that Trump believes that there were issues in the election. There are now about 50% of the population in Arizona, they've done recent polls. Half the citizens of the state of Arizona believe that we have massive issues with our elections. And 2022 didn't help, right? Because there were lines, you know, for miles at the polling places. So people know and are aware that we have massive issues happening. Trump, I guess what's being said is that Trump is saying these things because he believes them.
Well, and this is a perfect way to end this topic. You'll love this, Tyler. Go ahead. Okay. No, this is it. Cut 104. This is Donald Trump's legal defense through and through in 13 seconds. Play cut 104.
Jerry? Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
With that, we rest.
How do we
our
get
case.
That camera? How do we get it inside the Oval Office?
Mr. President, remember, it's not a lie if you believe it. Noble Gold Investments is seeing a huge surge of gold buyers, and it's pushing gold over $2,000. It's right near there. Shouldn't be surprising. We're at the dumbest possible war with Russia. Why do we hate Russia? No one can answer that question except calling me a Putin puppet. The government also guaranteed all deposits of the second largest and third largest bank run in history. This means more money printing. And the Fed just raised interest rates by another quarter basis point. The only people who are not afraid is Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control, from billionaires to multimillionaires to institutional investors. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com to secure your wealth now. Use promo code Charlie to bag a free 5-ounce America, the beautiful coin. So check it out right now. I think you'll really enjoy it. It is noblegoldinvestments.com, promo code Charlie. noblegoldinvestments.com, promo code Charlie to bag a free 5-ounce American beautiful coin. noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com. Portions of the Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by Noble Gold Investments. So you get indicted for the third or fourth time. Who are you having dinner with? Maybe your wife, your family, your friends? No. Donald Trump was having dinner with the executives of Fox News trying to woo him into the presidential debate in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Jack Posobiec, should Donald Trump debate?
So, you know, Charlie, I go back and forth on it because, look, you can sit there with this sort of political analysis, calculation, operative hat on and say, well, if he's at 50% plus in many of these early states or 30 points, 40 points up in some areas, even nationwide higher, then you know, you say you're already at a ceiling. The rest of the candidates combined can't defeat you. So why would you go debate and give them an opportunity? Because the calculus being that you can't go up much higher, whereas you could go down and you could give them an opportunity to go up. But at the same time, Charlie, I went on Don Jr. a couple weeks ago when I was down in West Palm for 20 Point Action. And I said, you know what, though? There's something about Donald Trump. When he goes to these debates, he just dominates. Dominate the headspace, dominates the headline, dominates up there. And it was through his ability to just headshot these neocons left and right in 2015, 2016. That's a reference to the great Can't Stump the Trump videos of the time, which President Trump infamously retweeted Volume 4, which included the incredibly rare Pepe Trump, by the way, back when it happened. That's really what gave him his renown early on and said that he was a serious politician. And I think he'd still have been at single digits had he not done it. So I guess I would say maybe sit out the first one, because I get what he's saying, that it's kind of like the JV squad, you know, it's the VP candidates, but you got to get up on that stage. You have to.
Well, I mean, so he doesn't have to do anything. He'll win the nomination no matter what. I mean, he's up like 40 points in Iowa. Tyler, should he debate?
Think about the general.
Well, I mean, what about the general? I mean, whatever. I mean,
think about it in terms of the general. You got to win independence, right?
I don't think you're going independence getting in a shouting match with Chris Christie. I don't think that
you don't think that he has the ability to break out in one of these events and eat Chris Christie, literally, figuratively, chews his head off.
Well,
that independents are going to be like, yeah, I want that.
So let me hear you out. So, Jack, you're a big MAGA guy. So let me challenge you on this. I had a phone call with a top DeSantis donor, and he said, Charlie, the whole plan right now for Ron DeSantis, he said, is the debate. We're going all in. He said, we need Trump on that stage. Maybe not the first debate or the second debate. Is that a risk worth taking? You have DeSantis' people telling you that their bailout strategy
exactly
to make this a race.
What DeSantis is going to do on that
They're
stage.
Telling me that their way to viability is to get Trump on that stage. Why would he do it?
I can tell you exactly what DeSantis is going to do on that stage. He's going to sit there and he's going to do the same thing that Dave Rubin did when he was on your show. He's going to pull out like a little quote and be like, aha, on January 4th of 2020, Dr. Fauci said this, and then you said this, and that was positive. But on January 5th, Ron DeSantis. And it's going to come across as awkward. It's going to come across as boring and creepy. And Trump is going to make some face out of being and just be like, Fauci's a loser. And I'd brush him the chance I get to get in. And everyone's going to laugh because they don't know how to debate. And I could say this publicly, freely, because I'm not even worried, because Ron DeSantis doesn't have it in him. He doesn't have that gear to be able to get out.
I will say this. But this is the brilliance of Trump. Let's say I've been told Trump is not going to debate, but I, the way he's acting, I've seen this show before. But this is how smart Trump is. The only thing we're talking about now is the mystery of whether or not Trump will debate. So he gets like multiple weeks of headlines.
Will he, won't he? Will he, won't
right?
he?
Right? And it's like he just loves it. You have to come to Bedminster. You have to woo me, you know, and you have to talk about how much I'm up in the polls. I mean, I have to say, it's brilliant. Like, I mean, it's political gamesmanship. It's like nobody else gets any airtime. And now we're not even talking about the debate. We're talking about whether or not the front runner will show up at the debate. Even if he's committed or not committed, this is ridiculously smart.
It's just insanely, like, Trump is all about dominance in politics.
Yes, this is how you dominate.
The idea is you just dominate the headspace.
Will the beast be in the room or not?
Beforehand, yeah. Beforehand, it's like, will he show up? Then, like,
I know
first
he's going to probably like 30 minutes before be like, my plane is circling over Wisconsin. Will I land?
Yeah. Just like, you know, announce he's
going
to come.
Where am I going? Yeah. Wheels up. Where am I going? No, like, he should honestly
literally
be like,
fly around.
No, wheels up. Where am I going?
You bully them so hard that they try to like show stuff and they finally are like, you're mean. You're banned from the debate. And he's like, I would have showed up. They banned me from the debate.
No, that's
and
what then, he should totally do. He's like, and then he flies over Milwaukee airspace.
He should just like do live just stream, just like rave, reacting yeah, to the debate Milwaukee and like just have it be all memes made by his like fans. And
so
just
smart. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake if you're a Trump supporter, because I've talked to these other camps and they want him on the stage. The other camps are – who wants it the most? It's not Fox News or the RNC. They are begging to be – have Trump on there. Jack, you were going to finish a thought.
Well, there is another option, Charlie, that I think that could potentially thread the needle here. And that's kind of what we've already started saying. Why not just counter-program it, right? So you can counter-program it. He does an event with Tucker. I mean, imagine Trump and Tucker just watching the debate and commenting on it in live stream. It might actually get more ratings. And it would get higher ratings than the debate itself if they were doing
it. He should absolutely not go to the debate. There's no question about it. And I'm going to make this as forceful as possible. I want to add the political background to this. The person who's been assigned to running the debates for the RNC is someone that's supposed to be super friendly to President Trump. We won't even talk about you know, who that is. It's pointless. But the point is, the fact that Trump's not that's even considering not showing up to the debates is a massive embarrassment on the behalf of the RNC. I'm a member of the RNC. I'm ticked off. I'm ticked off so much that the RNC has fumbled, you know, because, again, remember, the RNC got out of the commission, the nonprofit that was run by liberals, so we could run our own debates. They immediately went to Fox. Fox then stumbled, fired Tucker, which is like the worst thing possible for the conservative movement. Nobody trusts Fox right now. Nobody likes Fox. Harmeet Dillon, who ran against the chair, is not even appearing on Fox. She's Tucker's lawyer. She's also a blessing to the movement. But we have this movement now where most of the conservative movement does not support Fox. And so that's the primary sponsor of the debate. They went out and got Young America's Foundation, who we know well. They hate us. We don't care about them. They hate us because they said they were doing all these things for the conservative movement for years after Reagan's death. Turns out they were just using Ronald Reagan's name to raise money. In fact, most of you are listening. You may be sending money to Ronald Reagan's ranch, not realizing you're sending money to Young America's Foundation.
Which pays for Mike Pence.
Which pays for Mike Pence because, and I put this tweet out, which is Mike Pence ran out of the Eisenhower building after being VP to get a multi-hundreds of thousands of dollars a year from Young America's Foundation, which is fine, whatever, that's fine. But they're a Pence organization. They have on their payroll Mike Pence, effectively. That is the co-sponsor that the RNC thought would be smart, is a person who's running for president, is an organization that employs one of the candidates running for president. People would go, you know how crazy it would be if we paid Donald Trump, which we don't. Donald Trump's never asked a dime from us, by the way. But if we paid Donald Trump as an employee of Turning Point USA, do you know what kind of levels of crazy
I know
would come out of the establishment if it came out that Turning Point Action, because we would never have our C3 co-sponsored debate, but yeah. Turning Point Action sponsored a debate?
And the
people go crazy.
The RNC did this as a way to stick it to us because we were in Dana Point trying to dethrone Mitt Romney's niece from being the RNC chair. It's obvious why they did it. And fine.
Like, but that's how petty the movement is.
Of course.
That's how petty obviously. They are. And so this is how poorly they thought through this. It's like, oh, we'll go get yeah to co-sponsor the debate because we hate Turning Point so much.
Turning Point's done here.
And then it turns out, oh man, we didn't really think this one through. Mike Pence is employed by them. Mike Pence is the most detestable character that's going
to
be on stage.
I'll just say this. I don't know how they're legally going to be able to defend this because holy cow, that is really strange.
Having a 501c3 sponsor a political party's
RNC debate.
Yeah, you talk that's about, a bad move.
I would have like platoons of lawyers saying like, dude, what are you? We have a C4 for a reason
just
around
shut down.
Here. Okay.
Just shut down.
In fact, our entire 501c4 hosted ActCon for a reason. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to belabor that too much. But now the opposite. Let's play the opposite. Then let's go to the Lizzo. Blake, the opposite is this, and you changed my mind on the CNN thing. I was like, don't do the CNN town hall, Caitlin Collins, waste of time. But you have this belief like Trump is at his best when he's combative. He's a beast.
Totally agree.
It's like he's up 50 points, so what, he might get up 55, but like he needs to raise money, right?
Raise money, and like you keep everyone very psychologically invested in you. And yeah, I don't think we say like, oh, the general's the general, but that's what gives him part of his strength in a general election is you want the idea of Trump, who's not merely an avatar of the Republican Party. And how do you remind people he's not just an avatar of the Republican Party? He shows up at a debate and he just embarrasses a ton of Republicans.
Well, and that's the thing is that like he.
But I have a point here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a really important point.
Yeah, go.
Because we made this analogy. Donald Trump getting on the debate stage is like Michael Jordan getting on the court when you're 50 points up. Doesn't make any sense. I agree with you about Caitlin Collins. Donald Trump going and playing Caitlin Collins is like the Harlem Globetrotters playing the Washington Generals. He gets nothing but benefit. He knows he's going to win with his base.
Counterpoint. You know, we've discussed how, you know, having YAF do it, how having the RNC do it is kind of like them, you know, being a situation where they're against him. It's like if, let's say there was some beef, let's say the Utah Jazz are just totally dragging. They're like, Mike's old. He's done now. And so Mike would go in and just, he drops 60 points on them in this game. And yeah, he stays in, they're up by 50 and he's still just chucking up threes and
but he wouldn't though. He would come off the court. They wouldn't hurt Michael. You wouldn't allow Michael Jordan to lose any
ground.
But this
isn't a basketball game. This isn't a team sport. Okay, there's a team in the terms of their supporters, but this is an individual match, right? Oh. So you have individual fighters, players, sort of. Whatever you want to call it, in terms of this. So you have to have your
kids. I think Trump
sort of. I think it is a team
on a
sport.
Primal level. Trump's politics are about dominance. And so yes. what is the dominant play to do?
Well, I think the dominant thing could be to not show up. It shows that you are the alpha.
The dominant play is I don't need to show up. You need me far more than I need you. And if I show up, I am going to be the center of attention and everyone has to come at me and I will defeat them. And if he stays away from all of the debates, he allows that creeping sense of doubt. Is he staying away because he thinks he'll lose?
No,
he has to stay away only to the extent that it shows he doesn't need to be there. It's annoying for him.
I mean,
Charlie,
look what you just said, right? You just said, oh, the DeSantis team's got a plan.
I know.
They got a plan to take him out. They got a plan to take him out. Well, okay, but that coming out publicly then set the stage for the next shoe to drop is how does Trump beat the plan? How does he do
He's
it?
He's already winning.
And so you
though.
Can say
it's like
say,
what is
right,
the goal?
Okay, he wins, but the goal is to crush your enemy.
Yeah, but this is why I disagree about the not being a team sport thing, because again, there are more things at play here than just one-on-one debate spars, right? Like there is an entire ecosystem of conservatives who, and again, let's use Vivek as the example, right? Vivek has the most to gain by how he interacts with DeSantis and Trump.
So Vivek is cheering for Trump not to show up.
Vivek is cheering for exactly. Vivek
of course.
Is cheering for Trump not to show up because he becomes the effect of Trump at the debate. And then that hurts DeSantis even more. And again, if you're Trump, you're looking at this and you're going, that actually kind of makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense for me not to show up to the debate because Vivek is going to become, the Vivek Trump. Number two guy who's going to go back and forth. And so when they start attacking Trump, guess who's going to be defending Trump? Vivek is probably.
Right. What if Vivek wins? Why?
And so that makes Trump look better.
But you don't, okay. Obviously Vivek has navigated it really well so far, but how do things look if it's like Vivek was the real star of this debate? Totally swept to the floor. And what if he starts pulling higher and higher? What if Vivek gets 20%?
Trump will be 25%. Thrilled to be running against Vivek.
Will he?
Yes.
Will he be thrilled if Vivek's at 40 points?
Yes.
Well, they can't even fit Vivek's last name on most ballots.
I'm telling you, let's just be very kind. I love Vivek. Donald Trump attack vectors against Vivek is going to be like brutal.
Otherworldly.
He would rather have him just not be pulling high against him. He might enjoy it, but already then we have a situation where Trump has to run against
Vivek will never break 20%.
Pick
your opponent. Donald Trump wants to run up against Vivek.
Well, first off, and here's the important reason why, Charlie. The establishment will never get on board for Vivek. He's already, and again, this is the best way to explain it. We talk about this. There's two islands. That's it. There's two islands. There's establishment island and there is non-establishment island. And if you try to go in between those, you drown in the water, you're in the water. That's where DeSantis has been most of the time, right? DeSantis is not on establishment island. I don't believe it. I've seen the way they've interacted. They've worked with us. Anyone that will work with us at any point is just not an establishment island. But those guys are all establishment. Vivek has decidedly put himself on the non-establishment island. He's the only guy with Trump there right now.
If there's too many people on the non-establishment island, can it tip over like Guam?
Almost. Yeah. Basically, that's what's happening right now. They're all sinking right now. And DeSantis is kind of struggling. He's getting pulled back and forth. And this is the problem that DeSantis has and that all of these guys have. If more guys got on the island with Trump, it would split Trump's vote. Vivek is actually hurting Trump a little bit. Because all of Vivek's vote ultimately is going to end up back with Trump.
Okay. Do we have to do another sponsor here, guys? I think we do. One of Jack's things.
Jack
right?
and Genucel, I believe.
I think it's Genucel. Jack, tell us about Genucel.
Dang. Well, let me tell you a little something about Genucel. Because, lady, and the fellas too, take a look at your mirror. Do you see those dark spots? Well, I'll tell you something right now. They're not going away on their own. We're now introducing the dark spot corrector from Genucel. And just in time for the summer, we still got another month of summer, folks. The dark spot corrector has not one, but three jet cutting edge ingredients. Goes to work fast to target sunspots, dark spots, liver spots, even old discoloration of both your face and your hands. You will be amazed at how quickly you see results. You can now enjoy the summer sun, beach, and barbecues without embarrassing spots. With Genucel, you'll see the results or your money back. No questions asked. Just go to Genucel.com right now. Get your dark spot corrector with the new Genucel. Most popular package is now featuring the summer essentials like best-selling Ultra Retinol Moisturizer with a powerful retinol alternative for safe use in the summer sun. Visit Genucel.com. Let me double check this, guys. We're doing Genucel.com/POSO, promo code POSO. That's right. And I'll tell you something. When we use promo code POSO, it isn't just for Jack POSO. It's for Tanya Tay POSO, because Tanya Tay POSO, that's a girl. She loves her summer sun. She loves getting out there, and she wants to make sure that she doesn't get these spots. And so she loves the fact that with this, it's free shipping, free returns, the best luxury skincare for 70% off. Plus, all orders now include a, wait for it, mystery luxury gift while supplies last. Genucel.com, promo code POSO.
Okay, I think we are now talking about Lizzo. Who wants to take that?
I don't think anyone wants to take it.
Well, I don't understand this. I don't understand why we just can't call her fat and stupid.
Take Lizzo,
I don't get it.
And then send her to another place if that's possible.
Okay, so like, I'll.
What's the story here? She's getting sued.
I'll take the bullet here. Yeah. So three of Lizzo's former dancers have filed a lawsuit against her, accusing her of sexual harassment for creating a hostile work environment. Lizzo has violated United States civil rights law.
That's putting it very lightly.
There's two excellent components of this. One is that they claim to have been body shamed by Lizzo, which is...
Because they're too fat?
I think it is because they are too fat. I'll get the exact line.
Or they're not fat enough.
Because they're too fat.
I think it is too fat. It might be...
Lizzo told her dancers they were too fat. And they're probably good-looking people.
No, I mean, like, I don't understand.
She didn't
really
win competition.
I think pop culture is so dumb. I don't get it. What is her appeal again? She's like a rapper?
She's like a flutist is how she is, like, apparently good at playing the flute. And then she's also become, this musical star. I can't remember her genre.
Right, like, loudest?
No, but isn't her whole shtick, like, body positivity? Like, it's cool to be overweight and, like, making diabetes cool or something? Like, doesn't she have a song about that?
She's disgusting.
About... Like, but cellulite? Isn't that one of her songs?
Most importantly, she's disgusting on the inside. She's, like, a nasty person. She's, like,
Go through the lawsuit. There's some pretty bad...
Well, there's something with bananas involved.
There is a banana part. It does say, I'm reading in the NBC News report, the captain of Lizzo's dance team is accused of proselytizing to other performers and deriding those who had premarital sex. So whatever, we can get on board with that. But while sharing lewd sexual fantasies, simulating oral sex, and that does get to the banana part. Apparently, Lizzo had this encouraged them to take part in a practice where they would eat a certain sort of phallic-shaped fruit of yellow in color from a certain portion of anatomy.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Let's play cut 85. Apparently,
pretty disturbing.
It was really they kissed. They kissed after. I'm not gonna say what she did, but I'm trying to go to the show where you eat the banana out the pussy. Which one is that?
This is the banana bar.
Well, that's the banana bar.
Yeah, you
and they have the banana in the coochie
and ping pong balls.
And you have to go.
Yes.
And that's what I want to do.
Then you have to eat it.
I need my potassium, if you know what I'm saying. My poo's potassium.
In Utah, we just eat banana splits. Okay, that's how we get our potassium.
So that's not like forbidden by like the rules and regulations.
The number one consuming state of ice cream, and the least consuming of alcohol is Utah, per capita. But ice cream
one vice for the other. Well, one's better than the other.
Well, they also have like the highest rates of porn usage.
Yeah. Do you think they're searching Lizzo?
In Utah?
Like,
yeah,
they're not searching. They're not searching Lizzo. But when they're typing in banana into their web browser, it's for banana splits, is what I'm saying.
Wait, Utah has the highest rate of porn?
That's what they claim.
I've seen it before.
That's what? The claim, but you know, they,
it's per capita, but it's per a lot
of, ca- it, they also the nicer part is the
Charlie, do you not understand per capita?
I think that's the next topic.
The number one consumer per capita of ice cream is Utah. And that's why banana split was the question. I tweeted out this that Lizzo calling her backup dancers fat is a lot like Joe Biden calling Donald Trump corrupt. It's kind of interesting that those are both trending at the exact same time.
Well, that's Wham. So what we should be talking about there is Wham.
What?
Charlie, you know about Wham, right? W-A-M?
Enlighten
also
me,
known
Jack.
As splashing. Okay, so Wham is short for wet and messy. So wet and messy, which it can be, it seems like it's combining a few different techniques, I guess you could say here. So there's feederism, which is obviously going on. Feederism is, it's a type of fat shame, not fat shame, fat fetish, where you're basically turned on by feeding someone fatty foods. And then wet and messy is when you're then taking those foods and splashing it basically all over the face or, you know, other areas. And then finally, there's just for food play or vor play, which is basically the simulation or the actual act of basically what she's describing right there.
Oh, this was like a whole thing.
I'm really glad I picked our next topic. It's like polar opposite of this.
But this was like a whole thing, like the overeating accounts on Instagram is this related? The big binge eating people where they're like overeating intentionally, like disgusting.
But it's getting fatter. But it's with like a sexual element to that. But you're
it's like a kink. It's like a weird
arousal. Yeah, like a kink.
It's like a weird thing. Now, I saw something about this. I can't remember. It was like where it's like these accounts that look like on the front face. These Instagram accounts don't look like anything weird at all. It just looks like someone just like eating food, but you watch it and it's like this whole like really weirdly edited. It's just a guy eating, but like they're overeating every single day and they're celebrating.
Well,
getting
where that like teenager started off as like normal.
Yes.
And got into that.
Yeah. And he's like, celebrating fatter
monster. And I think he started getting in shape again, which I hope is true.
I wish I could find that one account, but it was like, it kind of went viral where it like brought like a lot of attention to it, where it was like this disgusting where they're celebrating like this nastiness of eating, overeating every single day.
Okay, play cut 84. Why is Michael Orr playing a flute?
Somebody said
that, Charlie, that's Charlie America's national that. Large mammal.
Somebody,
it was voted by Congress.
So we had I won't say who did this, I won't say what it was for, but we had one of those like, what's the biggest thing you fear? This was like a team builder thing. Mm-hmm. And somebody said it was a room full of Lizzos.
A room full of them.
That's like gonna be a thing in the Harry Potter reboot. They have that boggart
closet. I don't think
that's
we
like
explained
the
that,
thing
that,
you fear that most in the world, and it's gonna open and it's gonna be played by like Lizzo.
So that was James Madison's 1802 flute. James Madison.
That is the flute of the author of the Constitution.
That's so
okay. Awesome. I'm told to play cut 81. Okay, is that her usually playing the flute? Is she usually that bad?
I mean, allegedly she's pretty good. Enough, I wasn't, you know.
Yeah, I'm a woodwind guy. I could play play everything except the flute. She's not very good.
If that's, there's other clips of her playing flute like off stage on YouTube where she's actually pretty good. I'll be fair and give her the credit on that because
I'm just asking.
But this was terrible, and that's obviously. Yeah, that's the real thought crime, right? Where she's actually pretty good on the food. That's like representatives and officials from the Smithsonian that have gone over and co-signed this entire display, which to me is just amazing because this is the perfect representation of what America is now today. A big old fat lady like Lizzo playing James Madison's flute. And I'm sorry, but when I look at some of these indictments of President Trump, whenever I look at some of these ridiculous opinions of the end of the Supreme Court, all I can think of is Fat Lizzo twerking to James Madison's flute.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
this is all the same thing.
It's a defecation of a BLM fat activist twerking on stage.
That's honestly a different
the game over screen
when,
of America.
When she was on stage, my first reaction when I saw her on stage was like right tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. I
mean, my first response:
she's a massive person.
Fee fi fo.
I always love this. Whenever you are talking about somebody like this, I always type into Google the name of the person looks like, and then see what it fills. And if you type it in, it says Lizzo looks like, and the first thing it finishes with is mashed potatoes.
I thought it was going to be a wildebeest.
Yeah, and by
Lizzo
the way,
looks like mashed potatoes.
By the way, you know, we get emails from people that say, "Oh, you fat shame." First of all, stop being fat. Second of all, if you're fat, I have no respect for you. I'll be honest. And like, secondly, she brags about it. Like, if you're fat, then like, be honest. Like, I struggle with it. Like, whatever. She advertises it. Like, she advertises her obesity. She thinks it's great.
There's so many problems in America that are sad because people, like, can't control them. And, you know, fatness is the most controllable one. If you search, like, photos of me on the internet, you'll get my old Daily Caller photo, and I look like this, like, fat roly-poly. And then I was, like, so disgusted by that, I decided to not be a fat roly-poly anymore.
Yeah, just, like, and I mean, being fat is a choice.
It literally requires you to do nothing to stop it.
Taking bullies out of society because you just put like an 80s bully or a 90s bully back in society or any one of these schools that's out there today, they'd be running the plate because they serve a strong purpose. They served a serious purpose. We need like a squad of Heathers, not like the actual Heathers, but basically a squad of Heathers at every single school, just kind of maintaining the pecking.
Okay, now let's move to the group that really should be ridiculed, vegans. So, Blake, what is this very interesting story?
It's a remarkable story. There's this vegan influencer, which is a job that exists now. Vegan influencer Jana Samsonova has I probably got the accents on that wrong. Jack can correct me, but she has allegedly died of starvation in Malaysia while subsisting entirely on a diet of exotic fruit, which apparently did not provide her enough calories to, what's the technical term for it? Live.
Yeah. So this is what I don't quite understand. In order to starve for death, you have to go 45 days without any form of sustenance like fats or carbohydrates.
It's possible. Maybe it's less time if you're the size of this woman.
I guess your window is shorter. I mean, to starve to death is an extraordinarily rare thing.
It is difficult. And, you know, they'll say starve to death.
I think it's that she was starving, like in a starvation style
diet. She was perpetually starving. Yeah. And then she got sick and then malnourished.
Oh, got it. Okay.
She basically malnourished herself to death on eating nothing but fruit.
So her body attacked itself because she which can happen. It happens with candida cleanses. You can attack yourself if you screw up your natural flow. Is that what happened here?
You have no that's give. Exactly. If anything bad happens along to you, lines. Like you just – a stiff breeze will blow you over.
You know what's funny is this never happens with eating meat. This you've never no one's ever heard that I ate meat and then died.
Like Jordan Peterson have something to do with that? Like he was eating only meat.
Yeah, no, I mean I'm close to that diet. The carnivore diet can be really great. You don't need any carbohydrates in your diet. Carbohydrates are completely unnecessary. You just need proteins and fats. That's it. And vegans get
Jordan Peterson was addicted to benzos.
Well, he wasn't addicted. He had withdrawals, which is even worse than that.
You gotta figure out a way to get your proteins and
yeah, good luck.
You know, an even wilder thing.
Fats are the most important.
Supposedly, for 7 years, all she ate was jackfruit, which has jack in its name. That's not a good sign. And then the other food she ate was
jackfruit's actually really good.
Was durians? Do you guys know about durians?
No, are they like prunes?
No, durians are these like gigantic. Asian fruits.
They're all over China. Yeah.
And they're famous because like one, they smell really strong. And whether you think it smells good or bad is a very divisive opinion. People have compared it to fragrant flowers and also hot garbage, literally. And you can't bring them on the subway in Singapore. They're like, literally, you can find the sign that's like no durians, like a no smoking sign. And it's just this like wild. It's like a gigantic fruit.
Kind of like
huge.
A cross between a melon and a puffer fish with like the spike sticking out of it and stuff.
Yeah, it kind of tastes like custard. I haven't had one, but I should go get one. We must have Asian marts around here.
There was a person in China, a friend of mine in China that. You know, we had them one time and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go for it, you know, because I'm over there obviously to try different things. People always say, like, hey, Poso, did you have dog when you lived in China? It's like, not knowingly, like I never sought it out. There were places you could go, but you know, I ate street food, but who knows? But yeah, we tried the durians and it was like, I mean, it just tasted like a yucky fruit kind of thing to me. And I'm not a fan of like sour stuff to begin with. Like, I don't like yogurt. I don't like stuff that's feels like it's curdled. I'm just not into it.
A lot of probiotics.
I'm not going to judge.
So sauerkraut, kombucha, and yogurt are not for you, right, Jack?
I'm not going to judge.
Too much probiotics in
there. I've had that wacky Swedish.
It's actually really good for your gut health, but that's a separate issue.
I've had that wacky Swedish fish, that like surströmming, where they like ferment the fish.
No, yeah, fermented foods are really good for you.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's just famous for those videos.
Not
people open the can. And
no, I know. You also can substitute the probiotics. So make sure I understand this correctly.
This is so funny.
So this woman ate jackfruit and durians and anything else?
For 7 years, allegedly, that's all she ate.
So
Russians are so weird. Man.
I get vegetarianism to an extent. I mean, I don't agree with it. I get pescatarianism. Veganism is completely concocted. It doesn't have any ancestral roots. It's like totally made up.
Well, it's ideological.
No, that's what I'm saying, is that there's like no basis for it whatsoever. And I mean, it's no dairy, no fish, no meat, nothing. It's literally just it's fruits and vegetables. That's
fruits,
it.
Vegetables, grains, I guess.
I think they're careful with even types of grains, though, aren't they?
Well, I think they're okay with grain. Maybe some for health reasons don't like it.
I'm not.
It's
a big
ideological.
Fan.
It's the claim that, you know, eating animals or using animal products is immoral is a large portion of it. And so
no, that's what I'm saying.
How are those crops grown that doesn't affect animals? Like, you've got to plow a field,
well,
right?
Exactly.
Where's the line?
It's a very modern thing because you don't need to have the animals if you have hydrocarbons, but they probably don't like hydrocarbons anymore.
The fish thing, like, really? If this woman would have had fish like once a week, she'd be alive.
This is PETA's fault.
Jana's idle stagnation was causing her to melt before our eyes, but she believed everything was fine.
PETA's
you know what's
this
actually
is
not
actually,
funny, though? Is that there are vegans that do this to their kids. Like newborn.
No, this is so
and,
sick.
And Charlie, I think as far as I know, you're the one of us that has the youngest kid right now. And there are specific nutrients that a newborn needs.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
You're not going to get on a vegan diet. You will kill your child.
Well, no,
now
that we are in the weaning, we're throwing everything, bison, chicken, and like everything, peas, watermelons.
She's how old now?
It.
She's like almost like 8 months.
Almost a year.
Almost a year.
Also, you know, the big thing here, Charlie, is like vegans are out there. They're among us. And due to Joe Biden's open borders policy, they're able to come to this country.
I was just going to say this. I bet with this Russian dying, I bet Vladimir Putin is going nuts. Being like, they're trying to convert all our people. PETA's trying to convert all our people. They're trying to kill off our people.
He's going to invade Sweden.
So, I mean, this person is really mentally unstable. I mean, and you type in vegan, by the way, literally this is a screenshot. Every single result is vegan influencer dead of starvation.
Yep. Here's how you know veganism isn't a real thing. Because if people could survive on that, I guess that is the diet that Stalin put Ukrainians on.
Which is just like what, grains?
It wasn't vegan for long because eventually they were eating each other.
But here's how you know vegans are frauds. Because they have to counterfeit the taste of our food. Yeah. That's how you know they're fraud, right? Exactly. So if you go to a vegan restaurant, it's not enough just to have the vegetables. It's like, oh, here's like fake milk and like fake meat. Like, okay, you guys, you know the palate is designed a certain way. Yep. So you like, stop faking it.
Well, if I see the Impossible Burger at any restaurant, it immediately makes me never want to go back to that restaurant.
By the way, if you understand the Impossible or the Beyond Meat, it is so bad for you. It's like literally the same stuff that goes into Dippin' Dots. You remember Dippin' Dots?
Yep. Yep.
It's the same technology that makes
don't
that.
Don't attack Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots is it's tasty, the ice but it's, cream really of the future. It's really bad for you.
If a time traveler came back from the future, they would tell us everyone eats Dippin' Dots.
I mean, I don't know anyone who's vegan. I know people that are vegetarian and pescatarian. Just don't be ideological in how you eat, guys. It's just
the most important, a very important takeaway. So during COVID, you might remember everyone freaked out and bought everything at the supermarket. And I remember going to my supermarket the week of the big lockdowns and almost the shelves were stripped bare. And the only items in like kind of the meat sector that were left were the Impossible Burgers
and the Beyond
and turkey burgers.
Ugh. Well, I'll take turkey burgers.
I don't like the taste of turkey burgers, but they're actually pretty good for you.
I like turkey burgers.
Okay, Play Cut 113. Look,
turkey dogs.
Here is a rule of thumb. Not every vegan is crazy. But almost every crazy person is vegan. Play Cut 113.
3, 2, 1, sing. Eating animals is wrong, McDonald's. Hurting animals is wrong, McDonald's. Share this song and change your entire menu to be vegan from now on.
I will
if God
never step
didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them so delicious.
I'll never step foot again in a Burger King because of their sales of Impossible Whoppers. It's
so bad for you. I mean, look, first of all, Burger King meat is not exactly the best thing for you, but like the Impossible stuff, it's so artificial and the nutrient profile is so, it literally wages war on your digestive tract. Okay. So
Charlie, have you had raw egg nationalist on?
No, I haven't. And you know, I'm actually not as convinced on the research of raw eggs. I think it's actually a fad. So I'd love to, is he actually into that or is that like a shtick?
Oh no, he's got like a whole book. He's got a whole book on it. He's got a whole like menu book that you can get on it. Bunch of stuff. Yeah, I think you'd like him though. You guys are pretty simpatico on a lot of stuff.
No, yeah, you should connect me. I actually follow his Telegram feed.
His Telegram.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Okay, so we have to play Cut 84. Is that what you're telling me, Blake?
That's for the next topic.
Got it. Okay, we have about 10 minutes to do that. So CBD. Where are we at? Where is my thing here? I see a bunch of durian stuff. Oh, okay. CBD does not have THC. We went through a lot of different vetting. Go to the CBD distillery that we trust, cbddistillery.com. If you need better sleep, 90% of customers report better sleep with CBD. Stop using all these pharmacological agents and all that stuff. Suffering with pain after exercise, 80% report less pain after physical activity. Enjoy better focus and concentration. Full range of carefully formulated CBD and other plant-based solutions. Packed with whole body healing, plant compounds, and vital nutrients. 100% clean ingredients. Recommended by Dr. Kevin Free, Mayo Clinic trained internist and preventative health specialist. Over 2 million satisfied customers. If you're frustrated with a health concern that is not getting better, try CBD from the source that I trust. That is cbddistillery.com. That's cbddistillery.com. Promo code Kirk. Check it out. cbddistillery.com for 20% off. Check it out right now. Okay, Blake, take it away.
All right. Well, our next topic is, I think we just opened. There's a clip that went very viral thanks to our friend Benny Johnson.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right.
It's an event in South Africa. Yeah.
Well, it's thanks to Benny, but I put it in the chat and then Benny, it's whatever. I think I was actually the first one to flag this because of all these fun Telegram channels that I follow. It was actually from, I'm not going to tell what Telegram channel it's from, but Jack, I think you and I are subscribed to some thought crime Telegram channels. Anyway, it's on a Telegram channel.
What is Telegram? I'm not familiar with that.
But let me just full disclosure, it was on a Telegram channel that definitely pushes the boundaries of acceptable thought. I kind of love it. And all of a sudden, you know, this Telegram channel has a little bit of a tendency to exaggerate, this particular one, but it's totally true. This one actually happened to be legit.
Yeah.
And so it's it's the third largest political party. And I've like watched this like 10 times. It's so scary. It's the third largest political party in South Africa. It's like a black nationalist party, basically.
Economic Freedom Fighters is the name of
it. And they're like chanting in Afrikaans, which is the, is that right? Is that,
I'm not sure what language that, it's in.
Well, I think Afrikaans is the, I think that's the language they speak in South Africa.
Well, they have and, many languages. And South Africa's got many, many languages.
So let's play cut 84.
Shoot to kill, Hamaza, kill the poor, the farmer, kill the poor, the farmer, brr, pa, pa.
Jack.
Pa, pa, kill. I kind of like that. That's gonna be my new ringtone, actually. Kill the boar, kill the farmer. Like it's got, I don't know, it's got some rhythm to it. I think so. What the boer is? And now there's a distinction here between boers and Afrikaners. So boers, these refer predominantly to the Dutch who have been in South Africa for hundreds of years, as opposed to the British, who really only got there by into about the 1800s. And basically what they're referring to are white farmers that live in the more rural northern areas of South Africa. And this has been going on. There's been documentaries made about this. Lawrence Sutherland made a documentary about this called Pras Morte. And it is the farm murders. It's the farm murders that have been going on. Essentially, you get these gangs that run out there screaming at the owners of this, saying that you stole our land, even though, like I said, they've been there for hundreds of years. These are farms that have been in, been handed down family to family since before the United States existed. And they're just simply killing these families, wiping them out. And you've got the leader of this party essentially calling for white genocide. Now, what's interesting is that the most famous South African in the world, Mr. Elon Musk, the head of the platform formerly known as Twitter, X.com, head of Twitter, all actually straight up responded to Benny Johnson and called it white genocide. He said, they're calling for white genocide. And Cyril Ramaphosa, the head of, they've got the tweet there, the head of the president of South Africa, has never said anything about it. And I say this is actually vital that Elon Musk, he's clearly the most famous living South African. Look, he's a guy who got out there. There's still 4 million European, Caucasian people living in South Africa at this point, and he's just openly calling for this.
I think a tweet that I saw that I'd really like to highlight, it's from Zaid Jilani. I don't know if I said that name right, but he's one of these kind of – he's a liberal but mostly kind of woke critical, but his response to this was really funny, which was
like – center left.
Yeah, it's center left, something like that. Sorry, you guys freaking moved down. Now I have to scroll back up to see it. Okay, this chant, from what I understand, has a historic and symbolic meaning for the anti-apartheid struggle, and most people don't take it literally.
So we went full Reddit on.
Yeah, it's just actually, yeah, like, you know, actually, when you have a statue of George Washington in public, that's like very microaggressive and genocidal, but when they chant, kill the boar, kill the white farmer, that's just like a symbol, okay?
Right, Charlie, everything that you and I say is a dog whistle, right? Everything that you and I say is a dog whistle.
Dog bullhorn.
Everything that we tweet, it, you know, has like secret codes and secret messages. But then when you got this guy up in South Africa screaming, kill the white,
kill
not screaming,
the boar.
Excuse me, singing.
Yes.
Kill the boar. Brrr, da, 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 brrr, da, 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 da. No, that's we have to, that in the
full context.
It's the exact same thing when all the trannies are walking through the streets. We're gonna take your children. We're gonna take your children. No, it's not what they're saying. It's just like it's a joke. It's just fine. Or all get the gay men's choir. We're gonna take your children. They don't mean it. It's not what you think
it
is. Get the pack of gays that talk about that.
Or the overtly racist.
Yeah, convert your children. Yeah. You're right.
Racist thing that Joe Biden said. Same thing. Joe Biden's straight up racist, and they're like, Trump dog whistle, Trump, you know, this, that.
You don't even have to look for it.
It's
So the lyrics to the actual song Kill the Boar, which I don't know if he was literally singing it or if he was just referencing it, but these are the English language lyrics of the song, which is originally in Hossa, I believe. The cowards are scared, shoot, shoot. Ah, yeah, shoot, shoot. The cowards are scared, shoot, shoot. Shoot the boar, shoot, shoot. Shoot the boar, shoot, shoot. At one point it says...
Are you listening to it right now?
No, they're playing the gay song. Guys, I'm going to call to it.
Oh, that's the gay song.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Now, Blake, hold on. Now, do we know? Could he potentially? Maybe they meant shoot them a smile.
Maybe like they mean when they say kill the boar, they mean kill the part inside your soul that is racist.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
Ego,
so now,
it's like ego death. Right?
Kill the
boar
within your soul. A little bit of an interesting thing here. This clip we're about to play of the all men gay San Francisco choir saying we're going to convert your children. Anytime we put this up on YouTube, we get a strike. They have a full time firm. I think they've engaged to try to memory hole this thing from the internet. Play cut 116.
We have a message for you.
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it.
We'll convert your children and make an ally of you,
yeah. It's obviously it doesn't mean anything, right? Stop it.
Sadly,
they don't mean we're going to convert your children, bigots.
What they've really memory hold off the internet is
your
the version of that
and have feel like sex with them. No.
They've really memory hold the version that highlights like the sex crimes by various members of that choir, which I think there were like 10
No,
of
that's
them.
Actually a real thing though,
for
right?
Real?
Yeah. Yeah. In that picture of all, but it's like, you know, 55 gays, 10 of them were arrested for.
Yeah. You know, it's like not all of them, to be clear. Some I assume are good people, but. It is definitely,
well, as Kyle
it was a non-zero number of people with child sex offenses.
As Kyle Rittenhouse proved, you can't fire into a crowd of liberals without hitting at least one pedophile.
The term we prefer these days is libertarian.
Oh.
Okay, do we have a deep web reveal, Blake?
We do. All right, let's see. We've got just a moment. What's the name of it?
We got to talk about Public Square, right, Angelo? Public Square? Good. I want to tell you about Public Square, publicsq.com. I just had dinner with Public Square. Michael Seifert, Jack, you're a big Public Square guy, right?
Look, when you understand the power of what Public Square is doing, the fact that they were out there with this huge public offering the IPO, going down there, ringing the bell on Wall Street with Don Jr., with Seifert, with all the guys who were there. This is actually taking the world by storm. And I've spoken to them offline a little bit about this, how the signups they're seeing are going at such a fast clip now, because it's building off of all of these different pieces of it, Charlie. The wokeness coming out of Hollywood, the Bud Light situation, so many different companies saying we're going to pay for abortion, we're going to do this travel. People are so checked out, but they say, how do I, like, okay, I know which companies I don't want to support anymore, but how do I know? And where's an easy way for me to find companies that I do support? That's where Public Square comes in and makes it just so incredibly easy for someone who's out there. Like if you're my wife, if you're Tanya Tay, you're trying to figure out how to get your, you know, you're worried about like dinners for the kids and they got to get to this activity, that activity. It's summer, so we're doing a lot. You don't have time to make all these decisions and keep all these lists. Public Square, boom, so easy, right for you. And there are now hundreds of thousands of people across the country using this.
It's amazing. Go to publicsq.com, download the app, very much behind it, publicsq.com. All right, guys, we got at most 5 minutes. What do we want to spend
all right,
our time
on? We've got the deep web reveal for today. We're going to continue our education of Charlie in the obscure ways of the internet.
Boy.
So today we are
I am the uninitiated.
We are bringing him no holes this time. We're bringing him some lines, specifically the green lines of the Rivellino test.
So I didn't know this until Jack explained it to me rather perfectly. But tell me about the line test.
It's the line test. It's from this account named Rivellino. I don't know that much about him. I guess he's probably in some like PUA space or whatever. But the idea is you can really like you can see like who's the dominant person
pickup
in, say, or, you know, a pickup thing like in a relationship, for example, by who's standing straight, who's leaning into the other person. And so like, for example, if we got 87 here is a good example, like. This looks like we think like, oh, big dude, very dominant. But the problem is he's leaning into the woman. The woman, she senses it's weak. And, you know, it's very, very unassertive. Another creepy version we've got is from Joe Biden himself. If you bring up number 88 here, you know, she's really creeped out because Joe Biden's, you know, leaning into her. So the green line test never lies.
Well,
that's the idea.
He's got the whole explanation of it, right? So he calls it sexual polarity. Mm-hmm. And in sexual polarity, it's the feminine wants to lean into the feminine wants to lean into the masculine. She wants to enter his world, feel his strength, feel his protection, submit to his guidance. Sexual polarity is the foundation for sexual attraction. I'm reading from his tweet. Sexual polarity is the foundation for love. And so what people have gone now and done is with the Rivellino test or the green line test is going through anytime you see a male or a female or two men or whatever it is in a photo, you add it in the green lines and then you see, is this person attracted to this person? Is this person pulling away? What's going on? That's the Rivellino.
Yeah, probably the peak of this was that one of our good friends, Representative Paul Gosar, actually tweeted this a year or two ago. So he had some examples where he just tweeted images of himself with Trump, where both of them are perfectly straight, thereby demonstrating their strong, assertive confidence, as it were.
There's another aspect to that, Blake. So there's a different kind of Rivellino test, and this is just for guys, and it has to do with. I'm just going to say it. It's called crotch confidence. The other one is crotch shame.
Yes.
And this has to do with if someone is there you go. Okay.
Number 89. Yep.
So we weren't going to say that word, but okay, there it is. So whether or not you're standing up straight or you're crossing your hand over
see
your
what
crotch,
I said?
That's crotch. And you will not find a specific instance of Mitt Romney not crossing his crotch in any photo. Go look. I'm telling you. Fails it every time. No crotch confidence.
No confidence.
What about Mitt Romney with that hot dog? Do we have a
Mitt Romney with a lava lamp?
Mitt Romney with the hot dog picture. Is the hot dog bending or is he bending?
I'm not sure.
The craziest one is Mitt Romney with the birthday cake candles.
A very good recent example that we just added is throw up 117.
Oh,
we had this
oh my
Jonah
gosh,
Hill
he's
thing.
Bending. He's
we
bending
about,
this hot dog picture.
Wow. We talked about Jonah Hill recently with his girlfriend, and it's like he's trying to talk tough with her, and it might have worked. But if you check the photo, Jonah Hill 117, yeah, he's leaning into her.
She's got it, and the dog's good. The dog
and also,
is solid.
As far as the crotch confidence goes, like his crotch faces her rather than the world, while her own parts they face the entire world.
Out.
They are there for the whole world.
But now, was this the one? Was this the one that they broke up and she leaked the text?
Yes, that person. So
that's
why
that one.
She didn't
specifically why they broke up.
Yeah, that's why they broke up. She would have been 100%. Yes, I want to obey you and please you. If he had just stood more straight,
he just knew about the test, then he would have known that was coming all along.
He would have known.
Test never lied.
Subscribe to our Rumble channel, everybody. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. That was our deep web reveal. I learned something new every single week. I guess it's more for me than for you. And so to make sure you download the Rumble app. Our Rumble, the Rumble views are amazingly up. Praise God. And until next week, keep the thought crimes going because they may soon be outlawed. And if you guys want to make sure that these episodes don't get memory hold, subscribe to our podcast. God bless you guys. See you soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
You've spoken, and we've heard you loud and clear. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.